Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We're coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park as the offseason rolls on and OTAs are just around the corner. We're going to continue our conversation with you as we have every single week. We're going to kind of go away from some of the younger players, which is who we've been talking about the last couple of editions of the Wobcast. We've been talking about the rookies drafted on both offense and defense. So we're going to go to some of the veterans because finally, as part of NFL Network's top 100 players of 2016, the Minnesota Vikings get some representation. Two players appeared on NFL Network's list this past week as they unveiled players 71 through 80 of their top 100. The first one they unveiled was at number 76, Linval Joseph.
I don't know. I think it's my time, so I'm glad to be part of this list.
This year, man, he came in with a purpose. Last year, he felt like he didn't have a great year. And this year, he said he was going to make the run defense a better defense than it was last year.
Linval Joseph eats him up.
If you look at the St. Louis game, it was unbelievable for a defensive lineman to have, you know, four or five tackles for loss. I think he led the team in tackles that game. And for him to just dominate that game, he single-handed dominated that game and helped us to get the win.
You know, a lot of times those bigger guys just take on double teams and free up linebackers. But he does such a good job at picking one of the two guys maybe and, you know, driving them back and making plays in the backfield.
You look at some of the plays he made this year, it's been unbelievable. Like, man, this is grown men that he's doing it to. And it's like, wow. He's putting those players in the gap, and he's making the plays.
At the 39-yard line, Linval Joseph.
Up until the point where he got hurt this year, had 50-something tackles. He had a couple games with 10-plus tackles, and he's a guy that's just supposed to be taking on double teams. You know, that's absurd for a nose guard to put those kind of numbers up that he did.
I think he had over 70 tackles at nose. Like, he just, you can ask any O-lineman he goes against, he's just a nightmare.
Linval Joseph is a guy who I don't think has had enough credit given to him in the past few years. But this year, he's really made it undeniable that he is one of the top interior defensive players in the league. He's not the guy that's going to be talking smack, you know, just to talk smack, but extremely strong at the point of attack, nasty, wants to body slam when given the opportunity. And he's a guy that plays really hard. And you put those three things together, and you got a tear across from you.
And it's stopped immediately by Linval Joseph. The ball popped out. No indication yet. We do have a fumble.
I think he's the best player on our team, to be honest.
To teammates, he's the hardworking centerpiece of Minnesota's defensive resurgence.
He's a hell of a player, and they're lucky to have him.
To opponents, he's a mobile mountain of a man, capable of menacing offensive game plans for years to come.
All right, Nate. Linval had 8 tackles for loss and 1 forced fumble, which does not scream at you top 100 player in the NFL. But more important than stats is the disruption that Linval Joseph creates for opposing offenses in the middle of our defensive line, and then how that enables his teammates to make some plays and accumulate their own statistics. That is what I think makes Linval Joseph stand out from others. He is the epitome of what Mike Zimmer wants. He wants his players to do their jobs so their teammates can do their jobs. That is what Linval does, and I don't think you'd find a single defender on the Vikings who would not credit Linval as one of the better players on the defense.
Another thing that makes him stand out from others is his size.
Yes.
He's bigger than most humans I've met.
I'm going to put him at 6'3", 300 and a lot of pounds.
That works for me.
Yeah. So that's a factor, too. He looks like your traditional 3-4 nose tackle, but the great thing about him is he's a good enough foot athlete and a skilled enough technician where he can be your nose tackle in a 4-4-3 front, where he can 2-gap and he can do a lot of different things. The bottom line is he occupies blockers so that other defensive linemen and so that the linebackers behind him can accumulate really, really good stats. And that includes the next man on NFL Network's list of the top 100 players from 2016. That is safety Harrison Smith, who makes an appearance at number 73.
Two receivers left, Reuben Randall to the right. Eli on third and short, looks the way of Randall, fires, intercepted at the 35-yard line. It's Harrison Smith, touchdown! The Minnesota Vikings record for interception touchdowns.
I get a chance to be in meetings with him each and every day. He's a great baller, man. I feel like he's been deserved to be on this list. The things that he do on the field is unbelievable.
And it's snipped out beautifully by Harrison Smith and the Hitman.
I mean, they call him Hitman for a reason. He's just gonna go with his gut, and also he's fearless.
The play against Miami, rushed off the edge. Ready. Quarterback got ready to throw the ball, and he timed it perfectly. That's just Harry. He's doing everything. He's intercepting passes.
He'll fire deep right for Calvin Johnson. Intercepted! And Harrison Smith.
Sacking the quarterback.
On third down, he's hit! And he's sacked by a blitzing Harrison Smith.
He's forcing fumble.
Tackled by Scott Crichton. Ball came out. It was a fumble. It's a Riddick fumble. Yep. Vikings ball! Yes!
The guys love him.
Just one heck of a play coming in there and punching that ball out of Theo Riddick's hands.
They call him Harry the Hitman, but I just call him Hit.
Yeah. It's not a bad nickname to have.
Not at all, right?
Opponents like to know where the Hitman is lurking on the field, which most often is wherever the play is designed to go.
Screen right to Forte. Turns it up to the 25, to the 20, and then he's hit and stopped in front of the first down by Harrison Smith.
One thing about Harry, he'll hit you. You come downhill, messing around a little too much. One of the smartest safeties probably in the game right now, just as far as what he can do. He's going to be in the right place at the right time. He's going to make plays just by being in the right place.
He covers field. He makes tackles. He makes tackles in space. And a lot of safeties in his lead. They miss a lot of open field tackles, but he really don't. So that's what makes him special.
He has that big playmaking ability, and that's what you love about him. He has the ability to just change games, and he's been doing it since he arrived in the NFL.
He read that play beautifully.
Harrison Smith's peers respect his game enough to vote him the 73rd best player in the NFL, one of eight safeties on the list.
The best white safety in the league, man.
Now, Harrison's stat line will be a little bit more, will hit you in the face as a little bit more impressive than Linval's, because Harrison basically contributes in every possible way a defender could contribute. 87 tackles on the season, that was third on the team. Three tackles for loss, two picks, 1.5 sacks, a forced fumble. But I think more importantly with Harry is that he's a perfect fit for Zimmer, because Zimmer likes to be versatile, and Harrison is good against the run. He's good as a blitzer, and he's good in coverage. He's a leader on the team, well-respected within the locker room, and well-respected across the league, because he's looked at as an enforcer. He has the nickname Harry the Hitman because of some of the violent hits that he'll levy on players. And what comes to mind is one on Demaryius Thomas this past season, one on Colin Kaepernick this past season. Those are the kind of physical plays, most of them legal, that Harrison makes that leads to his reputation and finally to his spot here on the top 100.
So that's two Vikings in the top 100. We're now to number 71, I believe, was the last number unveiled.
Correct.
What other Vikings do you think could be ahead?
In the top 70, I think at least two should be there. And the two that come to mind are Adrian Peterson and Anthony Barr. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Those two should be in the top 70. And that's, I mean, the players are voting here. So, you know, how exactly they conduct the voting, I'm not really sure. I know at one point how it was done. I don't know if that's still the way they do it. I know what they do not do is make every player have a 1 through 100 ranking. They don't do that. You know, it's probably like, hey, guys, list your top 20 players, and then, you know, you get 100 players through that process. But... You know, so, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was a Pro Bowler, has not been on the list yet. In theory, he could be a top 70 player, especially with the position he plays and being a Pro Bowler. But I think, you know, his peers are going to make him earn it a little bit more. So I don't expect for him to be there, although it would be great. But I do expect Anthony Barr and Adrian Peterson to be there. An alumni of this list, the NFL Network's top 100 players, an alumni of that list is a guy named Anquan Boldin. He currently is not on a team, Nate. And I would say since the draft has ended, the number one question that's not related to, hey, what'd you think of the draft, that I've gotten is, hey, what the heck? Anquan Boldin's a free agent, question mark. Why don't we go out and sign him?
So tell us why we shouldn't go out and sign him.
I will. But first, we're going to have the guys at the NFL Network talk about it and see what they think. One of them actually thinks Boldin is a good fit for the Vikings.
Anquan Boldin, just completing his 13th NFL season in 2015. He's third with the 49ers, a year, though, that marks his lowest production since 2011. Boldin has said he will take his time making a decision. And when that time comes, Imrod, which team represents the best fit for Boldin?
Brett, I see the Minnesota Vikings because they're a run-heavy team. He's a bigger receiver who can go in there and dig out those safeties. He's also a guy who's not going to beat you over the top anymore. And Teddy Bridgewater, he doesn't throw the ball downfield anyway. He'd be the pro's pro in the locker room, and he can teach young cats like Stephon Diggs and Laquon Treadwell how to be a pro and how to be productive in this league. I like the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, so let's talk about the pros and the cons to this, all right? What do you want first? Why it makes sense or why it might not work out?
Let's start with the positive.
All right, why it makes sense.
Yeah.
Anquan Boldin, reliable veteran in a position group that otherwise is quite young. Jarius Wright is the senior most member on that team, and he's still in the middle of his prime, young cat. So Anquan would be a veteran leader who can still produce, and you add him to a group that's still very young and you know, is inexperienced. They're good, but they're inexperienced, and you can always use an experienced leader in a position group. I'm sure that wide receivers coach George Stewart would appreciate that. An extension of that is I have heard throughout the pre-draft and post-draft process a lot of people put a comparison on Laquon Treadwell of Anquan Boldin. He is an Anquan Boldin type of receiver, not a burner, but a guy who can go across the middle and make tough catches, a guy who can use his size to box out defenders. And so who better to help an Anquan Boldin-like receiver learn than Anquan Boldin himself?
I would imagine there would be nobody better.
Correct. I was originally intending for that question to be, you know,
rhetorical.
A rhetorical question that you wouldn't need to respond to, but you responded, so good job.
Thank you.
The last reason is that just who he is as a player, sure-handed, chain mover, and brings the attitude that Zimmer likes his players to bring on defense, he brings that to the offense. We'll go up and attack the ball. He's a good blocker, which is an important element in this offense when you have Adrian Peterson and you like to run the ball as much as we do. It's an important trait to have. So, you know, he's a good fit. So those are all the reasons it makes some sense.
You make a good case. Now, why wouldn't it work?
Because the Vikings aren't the only team that thinks all these things about Anquan Boldin, probably, you know?
Probably not.
Yeah, so I think we should not forget that San Francisco, that's who he most recently has played for, and they have said they're interested in bringing him back, and they're not ruling it out. So you have to make them the presumptive favorite to retain the to have Anquan Boldin, because all they have to do is retain him. There's already a relationship there. Also, he figures to command a pretty good salary given his production and reputation, and the Vikings have depth there. No, and another thing on veteran free agents at this stage to remember is when you add a veteran to your roster right now, you know, you're taking away reps from a younger player who you're trying to develop and who potentially has a higher ceiling than that veteran. So, for example, we'll use the Anquan Boldin and the Vikings as an example here. If you sign Anquan Boldin, that's great. It improves your wide receiver talent and depth, but it takes away reps that Treadwell could get, or it takes away reps from Charles Johnson, guys who are still developing. So that's one thing to remember about signing veterans at this stage. Also, it exposes the team to paying a guaranteed contract, because if a veteran signs with you and you cut him, you know, there is a one-time exception in a veteran's career where he can take his salary and make it guaranteed even though he gets cut. So you're exposed to that. You know, and you're just exposed to injury when you sign a veteran. And then lastly, sometimes the veterans themselves aren't looking to get signed because they're trying to find the perfect spot and they're trying to maximize their value. So if you're a great nose tackle that fits perfectly in a 3-4 defense and you're a free agent, now may not be the time to go looking for a suitor because everyone's got their starting 3-4 nose tackle. What you might want to do is wait for a team to be disappointed in its first round or second round draft pick, or wait for a team to experience an injury at that position. Now you've kind of got them at a leverage point that's favorable to you, and you can command a higher salary. So sometimes, you know, fans are banging the table wondering why teams aren't signing these veterans. These are quality players. Sometimes it's that the teams, it's not that the teams don't want to go sign them. It's that the players are saying, let's hold the phone here. Let's wait for a better situation to open up for myself. So that's always something to remember about veteran free agents as well. All right, now it's time to bring in our guest for today. He is Henry Hodgson. Those of you who listen to the Dave Damashek football program, you know him as Handsome Hank. His name is Henry Hodgson. He has an expertise level, we'll say, on the NFL expanding globally, particularly into Europe, because he's from the United Kingdom. But he also keeps his eye on the current players and the NFL as it is right now. So he's a perfect guest for us right now because the Vikings just drafted Moritz Boehringer. And so Vikings fans are starting to get to know him. He's starting to get used to life in the NFL. So we're going to bring in Henry right now and talk a little Vikings and a little NFL expanding globally. All right, Henry, you're a perfect guest for us to talk about the six-round pick, one of the six-round picks the Vikings had, German wide receiver Moritz Boehringer. And I almost feel bad. We've talked about Moritz now for a few weeks, and it's always the German wide receiver qualifier. At some point in time, it's got to transition to Vikings wide receiver. But I think it's still a novelty to call him a German wide receiver, and I know that you've got some background with Moritz. So thank you for joining the show. Looking forward to talking with you. How have you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Fun to have you here. You know, tell everyone a little bit about your version of the Moritz Boehringer story, because your experience with him started before the Vikings did.
It did a little way. In fact, it's been a really interesting story to follow, and it's not just limited to Moritz. A guy named Adam Doherty, who is a former NFL player, he's British. He played on a couple of teams, practice squads, I guess probably in the last decade. Has been coaching in the UK, and one of the things he was doing was looking for players from Europe that can make it to the NFL. Last year, he brought a guy named F.A. Obada to the Cowboys, where Adden actually was an intern coach during training camp the last couple of years. And this guy, British defensive end, got signed to the Cowboys practice squad and was with them through last season. So Adden was looking for other players this time around, and he discovered a couple of other guys, a French receiver who was playing in the German Football League alongside Moritz, albeit for a different team, and a British tight end. And so I met up with Adden, who I've known for a while, at the Combine, and he said, I've got these two guys, and I also have a German guy, a German receiver who I really don't know a whole lot about, flying into Miami on Monday, and that was the Monday of, you know, after Combine.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days later, he called me and said, wow, this guy's really good, and he's opened some eyes here with just his speed and size and everything else. And so, you know, we worked together to get a pro day to happen and to get NFL Films to come down and start shooting some content with Moritz at the pro day. And it sort of all went from there. And, you know, as as he impressed so many people so early on, it was pretty clear that this was going to be a fun story to follow. And, you know, from my standpoint of just wanting great content for NFL.com and NFL Network,
mm-hmm.
We thought we'd follow along with that story. It, you know, it really couldn't have gone better. And I think the way it worked out with the Vikings is really exciting. You know, it's enough of a story that this is a guy that came from Europe and you know, hadn't played college football and arrived here pretty late on in the draft process. But the fact that he wound up playing or being drafted by the team that he followed and that really got him into football is sort of, you know, makes the fairy tale even more complete.
Yeah, I mean, it's storybook stuff. In fact, we had Adrian Peterson on, and he talked about exactly what you're talking about, how it's an incredible story that you really can't make up, that it would go the way it goes with Moritz, you know, being introduced to football, loving the Vikings because of an Adrian Peterson highlight, and now he's Adrian Peterson's teammate. You know, I mean,
right.
And for people who are watching the draft on day three, and saw this unfold literally on live TV, it's like the best type of reality TV that you can have, and the NFL was at the forefront. Where were you on day three of the draft? Were you on set there at NFL Network behind the scenes, or where were you watching that unfold?
Yeah, I was with Moritz through the whole day. So we had him on NFL HQ during the morning, and mm-hmm. I took him and the two other players that I mentioned, the two other international players, over to the set in Chicago, I guess at probably like 8 a.m.
Okay.
And then I was with the group of them for the rest of the day and taking them back and forth. They did some interviews with NFL Now for during the coverage and ESPN, and we went, and you know, the commissioner really wanted to meet Moritz on the day, so took him there. And then was with him, you know, when we took him over to the NFL Network set, and that was obviously a great moment when Mike Mayock made the appeal to the Vikings to draft him. And then we went back to a green room, which the NFL had kindly set up for Moritz to you know, so that he could have that space like the players on day one and two have. And then suddenly the call came in, and it was a really exciting moment. And again, having spent some time with this guy and knowing the type of person he is, and you know where he'd come from and all the hard work he put in, it was a pretty emotional moment to watch him and his family and the people who'd worked so hard alongside him when that call came in.
Yeah, you know, his head coach now is Mike Zimmer, obviously, and. Well, you know, one thing I think that Coach Zimmer might grow to appreciate about Moritz is, you know, he's been here at Winter Park now for a little bit, but he's right. not searching out the cameras and trying to, you know, steal the spotlight here. If anything, it's kind of like you got to kind of drag him into it. You know, I think he's pretty focused on getting to work here, which it'd be very easy to get wrapped up into the show business side of it if you were someone in Moritz's position, but he does not get sucked in that way. At least that's my observation. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. Yeah, he's not that guy at all. He's very quiet. I think, you know, people tried to give him the nickname Mobo, but I think actually the one that he had in Germany, and you know, is Silence. That's definitely a more apt nickname for him. He's a very quiet guy. He's certainly not seeking out the camera, and I think he did, you know, frankly, he did a great job of dealing with, you know, some of the situations that we put him in terms of sort of building a little bit of hype around him during the lead up to draft. But I know that he's far more comfortable working out. That's that, you know, he's happiest when he's focused on football. And I think, you know, I read the headlines that Coach Zimmer had said that he wants him to, you know, the celebrity stuff is over. And I tell you what, no one will welcome that more than Moritz himself.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. You know, big picture-wise, when it comes to spreading the NFL globally, Henry, is there, since you're right at ground level of this thing, and I think, you know, you probably as well as anyone, you have your hands around this, what the effort is and what it means for the game and what it means, you know, over in the UK. You know, and then you're also here in the States and working and all that. Is there some, you know, what is it about the NFL's efforts to expand globally that you don't think domestic NFL fans quite have grasped yet, just because they're not used to the concept?
I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that probably it is difficult for fans domestically to understand is, you know, probably how much work there is for the NFL to even be understood and to be recognized in some other countries. You know,
yeah.
it's not, you know, here it's very easy to walk out into the street and you could talk to pretty much anyone about the NFL. In most countries, despite the growth that's happening, there isn't a whole lot of awareness, certainly of you know, the bigger name players. You know, Adrian Peterson is known by everyone in the States. Probably very difficult to find a lot of people, you know, even in Germany where we're talking about this story, who would recognize that name. So there's certainly work to be done on that front. I think, to me, the piece that's been missing probably for the NFL to grow internationally, and this is why this is such an exciting story, is for the average German sports fan who's focused first of all on whatever their favorite soccer team is, mm-hmm. to have a player, you know, like Moritz, who's playing for a team like the Vikings, and to hear that story and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to be interested in that. And I would imagine that the Vikings are going to pick up a ton of German fans now, because, you know, there might be people who are interested in the NFL, like watching it once or twice a year, but really don't have a reason to follow it. And having an international-based player on a team, I think, will really help spur some fans to start following closely teams. And we saw it last year with Jarrod Hayne when he signed with the 49ers. Obviously, he was a bigger deal already in Australia when because he was a rugby player who already had a pretty large following and fan base. But when he signed for the 49ers, all of a sudden we saw, from the metrics we see on NFL.com and on the 49ers website, a big influx of interest from people internationally and specifically from Australia.
Yeah, and that will certainly happen to the Vikings, and already has to some extent. We've seen the numbers come in, and, you know, it's incumbent upon the Vikings, you know, those of us within the Vikings organization, to do more than our part to reach out to that new fan base.
Exactly.
You know, and that kind of leads me to another question on Moritz. You know, being in the position that I'm in, where I'm here to promote the team and all of its players and speak positively and in glowing terms at all times, you know, one thing I found I have to be careful with is, you know, we also have to temper the expectations for Moritz a little bit. Not that we want to extinguish the fire that this great story is, but we also don't want to create an expectation that's so unrealistic that there's no possible way for Moritz to satisfy any of it. So what is your expectation for him on the field being a member of this team over the next few months?
I mean, that's a great question. I can't say I know enough about the makeup of the roster right now with everything that you know, you guys have done adding players in the offseason to know exactly where he'd fit in. But I think it's probably unrealistic for everyone to think that suddenly Moritz is going to step on the field and be an immediate star. And I'm not sure realistically that those people who've been working closely with him think that this is this is done and he's on the team now and the only way is up from here. He's got a lot to learn. Obviously, the step up from the German Football League probably isn't really equivalent to what any other rookie is going to have to deal with over the next few months on any team. I think we'll see what happens in the preseason. We'll see what happens in training camp. I'd love to believe that the Vikings find a role for him in games, but equally it wouldn't surprise me if he has to spend at least a year on the practice squad learning and really understanding what it takes to be a pro. Because, you know, he said it himself, he's not used to having meetings, he's not used to any of these things, so there's a huge uphill climb for him and learning curve for him in terms not just on the field but sort of around football generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think fans will get to know more and more about Moritz and how he came to to appreciate and love the game of football and the NFL. That'll happen here over the next few months, and it'll be really fun to follow. But Henry, for you, tell us where you grew up, how you became a fan of the league, and is being a fan of an NFL team in Europe the same as being a fan of an NFL team here?
It definitely wasn't, although I'm sure it was. So I grew up in the UK, and my dad had actually lived out in America for a while during the 70s, and so he'd gained an appreciation for the Dolphins. So I'm a Dolphins fan.
Okay.
And kind of fell in love with it in the early 80s. What used to happen in the UK back then was that they would show the best game from the previous week on TV on a Sunday night. So I wound up watching a lot of Dolphins games in the early Marino years and kind of fell in love with that team via all the great stuff that was happening there. Back then, it was pretty difficult to follow. You know, there was no internet. There was no there were a couple magazines or newspapers that would follow NFL teams, and so you'd probably have to wait until like Tuesday morning to get the scores of the games.
Wow.
But you know, it's an entirely different thing now. You know, the NFL has done a great job of making the game much more available to fans internationally. The NFL Game Pass product, which you can get domestically, and you can watch the games from the previous week after they're over. Internationally, it's basically the equivalent of Sunday Ticket. You can watch live online. You can stream any team's game. So, you know, that big influx of Vikings fans, for example, when Moritz eventually does get on the field, would be able to watch him, or certainly in the preseason this year, would be able to watch Vikings games and tune in and follow everything. And obviously with the internet and the NFL mobile app and everything else, we'll be connected to it very easily. But it certainly wasn't as easy to follow the game when I started watching, you know, a long time ago now.
Yeah, and now you do follow the game very closely. You keep an eye on the entire league, not just the international efforts, not just the Dolphins. You got your eye on the whole league. So a couple of other topics before we get going. Head coach Mike Zimmer, what are your thoughts on Mike Zimmer, the job he's done over 2+ years here, and what's ahead in 2016? How do you feel about Coach Zimmer?
I think Coach Zimmer's done a great job turning over the roster, you know, getting some really talented young players in, and obviously keeping the basis of that team, which is really Adrian Peterson and the great player that he is. I feel like the Vikings are one of those younger teams in the league that are definitely on an upsurge, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in the playoffs again and going even further in 2016.
Cool. You mentioned Adrian Peterson. Been the face of this franchise and the bread and butter of the offense for so long, and last year did not show any signs of slowing down. In fact, led the NFL in rushing. But he told the Monday Morning Quarterback's Peter King recently that he honestly thought it was a disappointing season because he knows he can do even better. And the Vikings have a young quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, and they're trying to build around him and support him, but they also have a beast in Adrian Peterson. So, you know, how do you see the Vikings balancing transitioning to an offense that is orchestrated by Teddy Bridgewater, but still using the best player on the offense to their advantage in Adrian Peterson? How do you balance that?
I think it's the perfect situation for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's got every defense that's going to be playing the Vikings this year and according to Adrian Peterson, for years going forward, is going to be focused on how do you stop this guy. He's the best running back in the NFL. So that should allow Teddy Bridgewater to have, you know, the scope and the time to grow as a quarterback and to find his receivers. I just think that's what every young quarterback coming into the league would want to have, is a great player behind them like Adrian Peterson that's really going to take the emphasis of the defense and make teams have to scheme for that rather than how do you stop the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the NFC North, the Packers had a strong hold on the division for the last 4 years. The Vikings dethroned them last year by virtue of a Week 17 victory at Lambeau Field. The Vikings and Packers will play one another once again late in the season in 2016. How do you look at the NFC North? Do you give Detroit and Chicago a chance to come up and be the Vikings of last year, or do you view it as a Vikings-Packers two-team race for the division?
I think the Bears have improved a lot during this offseason. I think that they, their defense was pretty young last year and looks a lot deeper now. They picked Leonard Floyd in the first round, and they added a few bits and pieces with Danny Trevathan and a couple other guys in free agency. So I think their defense should be better, and that might make that team stronger. I definitely think that right now the Packers and the Vikings are going to be the class of that division.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Trey Waynes will be an interesting player to follow as well as he develops. You know, he came out a little slowly last year, but I think that, obviously another year in Mike Zimmer's scheme, I think Trey Waynes is a guy that probably maybe was a little overlooked last year that could really emerge this season for the Vikings.
Which would be great for the Vikings playing in this division with the likes of Matthew Stafford, Jay Cutler, and Aaron Rodgers slinging the ball all over the field. Henry, did you go to the Vikings-Steelers game at Wembley Stadium back in 2013? Were you there?
I did, actually. Yeah, I was there. I was working in L.A. at the time, but I managed to make it back for that game.
I thought we had a pretty good showing from the folks. A lot of Vikings fans over there.
Yeah, a lot of Vikings fans there.
Let's get another game in the UK or maybe in Germany or somewhere. I mean, you know, we'd like to come over there and visit again.
I'm sure, you know, I think they'd love to have you back. And you know, fingers crossed, Moritz continues to grow. And I'm sure you guys will be a team that one day will be asked to play in Germany. And we'll find that there'll be a ton of Vikings fans there as well.
All right. Henry Hodgson, you can catch him on Twitter at NFL UK Hank. You can also catch Henry. He's co-host of the Dave Damashek football program. Those guys put out a good show. Lots of good stuff on that show from Henry and also today from Henry. So, Mr. Hodgson, we thank you for taking some time to join us here on the Wobcast. It was a pleasure to have you on, and hopefully we can do it again.
Great. Thank you very much for having me, guys. It was really fun speaking to you.
Good. It was fun for us, too. Thank you, sir. I think UK accents are pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too.
It's got, maybe tell me if you agree, I think that the British accent has a sense of sophistication to it.
Yeah, it's almost, you don't even need to really say anything and you almost already sound more intelligent.
Right.
Sort of like you with those new glasses.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Yeah. Now, is that like grass is always greener of us to think that the British accent has a sense of sophistication to it and that people with British accents are like, God, you know what? Those Midwesterners in America have sophisticated accents.
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask because I am a Midwesterner in America. So
yeah, me too. But anyway, I like the British accent.
I like what he had to say. Lots of good stuff from Henry.
Also, I have no natural segue into our next segment, so I'm not going to really even try, and I'm just going to say let's go to the next segment.
The first question comes from Ben Lindsay.
So it's fan mail.
Yeah.
Okay.
First question, Ben Lindsay says he loves the show, first off, so thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
He says, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ben.
And then he actually follows up with a question, so that's good, too. With how our offensive line has been reassembled and with Coach Sperano in charge, could we see Big Phil or Andre Smith play right guard while the other plays right tackle? Tony loves bigger guys, and that's a lot of beef.
Yes. This is a good question to include. This was a topic in this week's Pick Six. And so obviously Ben does not watch the Pick Six, or Ben does watch the Pick Six, and he submitted this question before this Pick Six aired. Either way, Ben asks a good question. That's the long way of saying this is a good question. Because if it's in Pick Six, we think it's a good question. I think you can't rule anything out yet along the offensive line. I mean, there are some things you can rule out, like Phil Lotholt's not going to be the center. Okay, you can rule that out. But generally speaking, let's not rule anything out yet because it's a new offensive line coach and Tony Sperano, and the Vikings have used every method possible to add and change up the personnel along the offensive line. They've retained starters, Matt Khalil, for example, using the fifth-year option to keep him, re-signing Mike Harris, having John Sullivan and Phil Lotholt come back from injury. So you're retaining starters. They use the draft to add some young talent to the offensive line, and they use free agency to add talent to the offensive line. So obviously this was a priority for the Vikings this offseason to address the offensive line. I wouldn't rule anything out. I would pencil in and feel pretty good about Matt Khalil at left tackle and Alex Boone at left guard. After that, I think it's pretty much wide open. John Sullivan comes back from injury. If he's healthy, you'd think he'd win the starting center job. But Joe Berger did play very well for the Vikings last year at center, so he'll compete for a starting job there. If Joe doesn't win the starting job, he's your natural backup center, but he's also a natural to compete as a backup at left guard and as a starter at right guard, where Mike Harris returns as the starter at right guard. You also have Brandon Fusco, who could compete at right guard. Now that Alex Boone is here as your left guard, Brandon Fusco, who played left guard last year, could be moved back to the right side to play right guard to compete with Mike Harris and potentially Joe Berger at right guard. And then at right tackle, you retain TJ Clemmings, who started every game at right tackle last year, may switch over to the left side, but could also stay on the right side if things don't go well there. You bring back Lotholt from injury, and then you sign Andre Smith in free agency. So there's just a lot of competition there right now. To directly answer the question, you could see Andre or Phil play guard, play right guard. You could see it, but I don't think you will. I think it'll be Harris, Fusco, or Berger. And then I think that Andre Smith and Phil Lotholt will battle it out at right tackle. But the Green Bay Packers are a team that has found some success in moving tackles to guards. It wouldn't be breaking new ground to try and do something like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if it happens, especially with the new offensive line coach, who can tend to new coaches tend to shake things up and make you look at things different ways. So it wouldn't shock me if that happened, but I don't think it will.
either way, it should be a fun OTA and training camp session.
For sure.
That's for offensive line competition.
Absolutely. And I love it that there's a new coach there. I mean, nothing against Jeff Davidson. We liked him too. But when you have a new coach, you have a new way of doing things. You have new drills. You have a new way that the coach is talking to the players. And so I think that breathes new life into it, and it breathes excitement into it.
Next question from David Davis. He says, with the Vikings winning the NFC North last year and all of our offseason signings, one could only imagine we'd be a better football team this year.
Right.
Why are we still projected to finish below the Packers in the NFC North when clearly we have a better all-around team?
Right. Fans really get upset when they, you know, when they see their team, what they feel has been disrespected by the media. And I get that. I understand why. You know, you are a fan of a team and you want nice things to be said about your team. But, you know, it's these are just projections by people who are, you know, just giving their own personal opinion, or they're trying to create a splash. They're trying to create exactly what has just happened here, a reaction from fans to get people riled up, to get people to read stuff, to get clicks. So I just look at it as water off a duck's back. And really, quite frankly, this is probably how Mike Zimmer wants it. I mean, I think when Coach Zimmer thinks about how he's going to set things up for his team from a psychological perspective, he would much rather play the, all right, guys, no one believes in you card than, okay, guys, last year was pretty good, but we got to do better this year. You know, I think he'd rather be the underdog, the no one believes in us against the world. So, you know, the Packers are a really public team. They have a lot of support around the entire country. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They're getting Jordy Nelson back. And this has been their division for a long time. It was just last year that the Vikings knocked them off their perch. The first time in 4 years the Packers didn't win the division. So you can excuse people and understand why people go right back to Green Bay being the presumptive favorite. And quite frankly, I think it's a good thing for the Vikings.
Finally, Adam submits an email, says he's worried about the play calling from last year and hopes it changes to allow Teddy to grow. If Adrian doesn't learn how to either block or run out of shotgun, then we should just hand the keys to Teddy and Jarek. Adam says he understands we had serious O-line issues, but we need to adapt. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Adam has just laid out a bunch of issues. So you can't be mad at the play calling last year, but also understand that the offensive line had issues. Because the issues along the offensive line is what led to the play calling. And so to put it more simply, we struggled with pass protection last year. And I think a great way to illustrate that is that we had the fewest passing attempts in the NFL, but we gave up the 6 most sacks. So, you know, that tells you that the Vikings are going to want to improve in their pass protection. And so what happened with the play calling was the team realized that there was this issue. They also realized that Adrian Peterson was running really well last year, and so they leaned on him to be the bread and butter of the offense, to consume the clock, control the ball, and let the defense do its thing. And that's how the Vikings won a bunch of games last year. So I actually give credit to the play calling last year for adapting to what the issues were. Now this year, as we talked about with the first question, there have been a lot of changes and additions to the offensive line that should generate some improvement in the pass protection, and now I think you can see a more balanced attack. And I get a lot of questions about, hey, is it time to hand the keys to the offense from Adrian to Teddy? And it's time for Teddy to take another step of development and for the offense to be more explosive in the passing game, but it's not time to be as reliant on Teddy as we were on Adrian. You don't want to be as reliant on anyone as you were on Adrian last year or in 2012. You want to be balanced. And I think that's what the Vikings' goal is going into 2016.
Are you ready?
I am ready for?
For OTAs.
Yes.
They start this week.
That's what's next. The off-season calendar is actually pretty short now.
Yeah.
Like, we're kind of to the end of it, really. Yep. You know, and I think people think of the off season as like the off season goes until like training camp
the
starts.
End of July, yeah.
Which is technically true. And so when you look at it that way, we're not almost done because that's a little ways away. But when you look at events of the off season, we're getting to the end of it. You have OTAs, which begin on May 24th for the Vikings, there will be 10 OTAs. They will run through June 2nd. It's 2 weeks of three OTAs, and then the third week there will be four OTAs. So OTAs are May 24th to June 10th. In that time span, there will be 10 OTAs. You can find coverage of those OTAs that will be second to none on Vikings.com. So Vikings.com is your source for OTA coverage. We will be there every single day.
What was that website one more time?
Vikings.com. Have you ever heard of it?
Yep, wrote it down.
Be there for daily coverage of OTAs, player interviews, daily highlights, written articles. We'll probably have interviews from OTAs that we'll put on the Wobcast. I would venture to guess that Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, will do his 9 to noon radio show at Winter Park during OTAs. You can catch interviews from that on Vikings.com as well. So Vikings.com is where to go for coverage of OTAs May 24th to June 10th. After the OTAs conclude, there will be the mandatory minicamp for the Vikings, June 14th to 16th. Of course, will be your source for coverage of the minicamp as well. So make sure you go to Vikings.com for coverage of the minicamp. And then that will conclude the Vikings offseason program. It's over on June 17th, and players will be off until training camp begins. Expect training camp to commence in late July. The official start date and end date for training camp has not been announced. It will be announced very soon. Last year, we announced those dates on June 9th. I think we'll announce them a little bit sooner this year, so stay tuned to Vikings.com. Stay tuned to the Vikings social media channels for updates on when training camp will be and what the full training camp schedule will be, so you can plan a trip to Mankato to watch the Vikings practice and get ready for the 2016 season. All right, Nate, before we go, I just want to mention one thing, give some credit to some Vikings staff members and to the Vikings as a whole for some work that they've done with corporate partners in the community. Kudos to Natalie Colander and Nathan Fix, both members of the Vikings sales and marketing department, who attended the Corporate Volunteerism Council of the Twin Cities, their annual luncheon. CVCTC is an organization to support and grow workplace volunteerism here in the Twin Cities community. Natalie and Nathan attended as guests of United Healthcare and U.S. Bank. CVCTC gives out two annual awards for outstanding corporate volunteer programs, and this year both winners were partners of the Vikings, recognized for Viking-specific programs. U.S. Bank earned the Innovation Award for the Vikings Places to Play program, and United Healthcare received the Minnesota Employee Engagement Award for our Kick Senior Hunger program. So congratulations to Nathan and to Natalie for going to that event and being a part of it, and congratulations to U.S. Bank and to United Healthcare for their great work in the community in conjunction with the Minnesota Vikings. Just want to spread some love here on the Wobcast. You know, it's not all football all the time. All right, my notebook is empty. Got anything else?
No.
From the sounds of it, your notebook is empty too.
Yeah, my brain is empty.
All right. OTAs have commenced. That means the action is picked up here around Winter Park. Catch daily highlights, catch interviews, catch written articles up on Vikings.com right now from Vikings OTAs. That will be continuing through June 10th. So if you need a football fix, if you are starving for football, if you miss football, stick around Vikings.com. OTAs have begun, and that means the action is picked up here at Winter Park. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Wobcast, fresh off of more OTA practices with lots of takes and knowledge. Looking forward to continuing the conversation with you great Vikings fans right here on the Wobcast. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshall, signing off for now. Have a good week. So, yeah! Hey!